racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back. hour three, about 10 minutes in, and we'll spend a little time with Andy Serling. And, of course, most of us spent a lot of time with Andy Serling last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the America's Day at the Races shows that, more and more racing coming at us. Andy, good morning.
Morning. And I should apologize, I guess, at the top of the show if some of you had to spend time with me. I know it couldn't have been easy. Believe me, I know. I live with myself. I'm
well aware. The excitement and the pleasure, and it's funny. We talked about Fairmount and about Canterbury this morning, and with every oval coming back, Andy, everybody's so relieved and excited. But in New York, where it was an anguished 2.5 months because of what was happening in the metropolitan area, there was really a kind of a euphoric feeling, I think, for players even, just, remotely everybody was excited.
Well, also probably because, yes, I agree, it was a combination of emotions, right? Relief, excitement, euphoria, I guess, and plus, the racing delivered as well. I mean, the racing was spectacular every day, big fields and just good racing. So I think there were a lot of factors, obviously, that went into play, and the racing is a big part of that. So when you have cards like Saturday's cards with so many excellent performers and such big fields, but even throughout the week, I mean, there really were very few hiccups as far as races that you went, So, I mean, it was almost too much at a certain point, It was really strong, and people responded. And listen, we've got an incredibly loyal and great fan base in New York for New York racing. And so it's satisfying to be able to give them what they deserve, which is great racing. And, racing isn't always up to par, isn't always as strong as this. That's for sure anywhere. But when you have it like this and under these circumstances, it's very satisfying. And I we appreciate our customers and how much they bet, and the players, and it's all about that, right? Without bettors and owners supporting the game, there's nobody, and the rest of us are earning off of the game. All of us, you, me, everybody in the game. It's the owners and the bettors, who pay the bills. So if we can deliver something that's satisfying to them, it's extremely satisfying to us.
Well, I got to bring up both an amazing topic and also one that is of consternation, and that's Errat Ortiz, who won a dozen races, 13 for whatever it was, 29. Yeah, exactly. And at the same time, Andy, I want to discuss it. I referenced it yesterday, but the situation with the non-DQ in the nightcap the other day.
Well, can I just interrupt for a second? Let's not focus on that. Errat's won two straight Eclipse Awards, and he's a fabulous rider. So
yes.
I don't want to sit here and just, be critical of him. And I have criticisms of his rides, but I'm also a big fan of his riding abilities. He's a great rider, and in some ways that makes it frustrating, And some people might point to, Angel Cordero was a rough rider, a great rider as well. There was a difference, and I think it would be interesting to compare the two. And so I don't want to just sit here and say Irad's doing bad things and not focus on the plethora of good things he does as a rider. He's a fabulous rider, and, he has a desire to win as much as anybody you'll see in the game. So let's not be critical of him without being fair to him. Having said that, as you're alluding to, he's an aggressive herder. Now, if the stewards are letting him get away with it, then he's trying to win, Steve. And if he's getting away with tactics that some of us may not particularly appreciate, or feel are over the line, but the stewards don't, why is IRAD supposed to stop trying to win races? Because his job is to win races for the bettors and for the owners. And I'm sure IRAD Ortiz is aware that his horses are dramatically overbet. He's getting more overbet than Chad Brown was as a trainer. It's frightening, the money his horses are taking. I haven't seen anything like this. A little with Ramon, a lot with Cordero and Saratoga in years gone by. But in a room full of unbelievably great riders, they're betting him like every horse he rides is magic. So he's got pressure to win. Having said that, there were two incidents this week that were long inquiries on them. There were two very different instances. I felt one should have come down, but I wasn't surprised it didn't. That was the one earlier in the week when he forced his way out on Kendrick Carmouche. Was riding a horse who ran second. I can't remember. I think it was the day the track was muddy. So I think that was Friday, but I'm not sure. It might have been opening day. I'm a little hard to remember. You know, Kendrick had the door closed. Yes, IRAD's horse was best. So by the argument of did the best horse win and would altering the result, you know, would that affect? No, that's the decision that they probably made. The problem is the best horse doesn't always win because sometimes the best horse gets in a jackpot. And Kendrick had IRAD in a legitimate jackpot. And IRAD just said, no, I'm just going to force my way out. So my argument, and some people's argument, would be, yes, he rode the best horse, but we've all bet the best horse in a lot of races and not gotten paid. So sometimes you can't just jump and force everybody out of your way to get there. They made a decision. I didn't agree with it. But that's the game. I also didn't agree with the call in the race on Sunday. I was very happy for Christophe Clément and get us qualified. Obviously, an extremely tough day for racing, but for Christophe Clément on Sunday. So from a human standpoint, even if he and I weren't friendly, I would, have felt good for him that didn't happen. But having said that, and I'm sure Christophe would feel the same way, his horse, I don't know how that horse stayed up. Because not only did he force the second-place finisher in Majestic Dunhill, who's a 13-1 shot that, according to social media, was 1-5, he actually leaned over with his elbow in the late stage.
Yeah.
And he's forcing him towards the rail, and he caused his brother on the third place finisher Flavius to steady right at the wire because he was forcing the other one so far. They started out in the 6 or 7 path. So I was confused. I was just watching. I said, and I wasn't involved. I bet Flavius actually, so I wasn't going to cash my ticket regardless. And I just said, well, this obviously is going to come down. And I was surprised it didn't. I'm going to disagree with the stewards. They're doing the job that they believe is right. That doesn't mean I'm going to agree with them. I agree with them most of the time. I was particularly surprised by this one and certainly had no dog in the fight. But, that's not my department, And they're not telling me how to run TV. And I'm sure that they don't love everything I say on TV. And maybe if one of them went on your show, they'd tell you why they don't like me, which I'd be okay with. But it's not personal anyway with me with them. I just disagreed with them. But that's racing. We all disagree. But I don't want to crucify IRAD because of these decisions because he's a fabulous rider. But he gets away with stuff. But if he's getting away with it, are we supposed to blame him?
Right.
He's trying to win.
Well, and this was, I can recall a similar discussion when Javier Castellano was the herder in chief, and until he got slapped around by Woodbine that time,
well,
when he got taken down in
Woodbine for a foul that he wouldn't have gotten taken down in New York. There is a certain consistency in the stewards in these calls. I consistently disagree with them, but I don't have an issue with consistency.
Exactly.
So everybody always means consistency. So if you want consistency, our stewards are pretty darn consistent. I'm not going to say everybody is 100%, and I also say it's hard to judge one call the next because maybe there were a different group of people in the room. And I don't know if these decisions were 2-1. I don't know any of that stuff. But, there is a consistency to allowing herding in New York. I don't agree with it, but that doesn't make me right. So, And I also don't think that the whole weekend should be focused on the fact that IRAD
may or may not
be disqualified. There was a lot of good stuff going on. And it's not that I'm a guy who only focuses on the positives. Anybody that knows me knows I could dwell on negative forever. But, it was an unfortunate sort of ending the week. But on the other hand, that's racing.
I agree. And let's actually back it up and get some coverage of the full week. We talked to Richie yesterday and didn't really flesh out a few of the things other than, you know, some of the Saturday impressions. But Andy, going back even to opening day, I mean, Chad with a tremendous start to the meet, rushing fall, comes back in the bogey. And then we had, you know, if we want to concentrate on Chad for a second, the really satisfying performance of Newspaper of Record and starting her four-year-old campaign that way, very heartening.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, she was probably the most talked about horse in this country worldwide going into her three-year-old season, and obviously it was a complete debacle. You know, with 2 second place finishes at incredibly short prices and then the disaster in the Belmont Oaks. So suddenly you've got a horse that, you know, went from being, you know, the darling to just being a total mess. And, you know, that's something that the good trainer can do, which is take a horse that's completely sort of lost it and put them back together. And, you know, she had been training well in Florida from the reports, and Chad was optimistic, but until they do it in the racetrack, you know, I was cautiously optimistic. I expected her to run well, but, you know, we've all been in these situations with horses, and we've seen him run well, but we've also seen him run poorly. And this was an extremely pivotal race for her, because if she didn't come back with her usual flair, where are you going with her, right? You know, and her, you know. But as it turned out, she was every bit as good and really better than she had ever been before. You know, she was involved at a very quick pace when you consider how much it had rained before that race, and she just kept on running and got a strong feet figure. And you know, Chad Bradman went 2, 3, 4 in that race, which, you know, was a pretty amazing achievement. But she was very impressive. She was one of, you know, the stars delivered on Saturday, and she was one of the ones that was in that group.
Rushing fall and as well, and the stakes action that, you know, was very grassy. You had Chucky Lawrence come up with Perrette and at a big price win that tiller. Basically stayed on. Very similar, actually, to the...
Did you call him Chucky or Chuck like everybody else? I'm just checking.
Everybody calls him Chucky Lawrence. Everybody. Everybody, yes.
Say, actually, people call him? Okay. But
yes.
I always thought it was Chuck, but okay.
Yes.
I'm just checking. You do have a different name for people than most people, right? It's sort of the key. Everybody's nicknames and Bic nicknames.
That's a, you know what? I should make that a thing, actually. That's a good idea.
You probably should. I'm sure Shug would appreciate you calling him Claude Ray. So maybe you call that to him or just on your board?
Of course, I absolutely said call it to him, Claude Ray.
I'm not, you know, I'm just checking.
Only you and Privman give me a hard time about this.
Well, no, we're the only two people that have the courage to bring that up to you.
Well, like I'm so scary.
Well, you know, I'm not scared of you, but apparently other people are.
I can't imagine why. Andy, let's talk also about the... Let's talk about the pick five and the carryover Friday. I haven't had a chance to go through it, and it was tricky. And this was a little hard to navigate. How did you approach it?
I can't even remember when we had the carryover. Sorry,
it was Friday. It was Friday. I hear you.
I bet a reasonably small ticket, I think $60. I had 3 seconds and 2 on top. It was a very tough sequence, and I felt like either I'm going to bet it small or it's going to require way too much money to hit it. You know, somehow I managed to have the $40 horse, but not shorter prices. But whatever, you know, as it may.
Well, and that was a crazy price on that horse.
That was ridiculous. The Belmont horse? I don't know how that horse was over 8-1 in there. I don't know what people were looking at. She was clearly good enough to win it. And Belmont and Christophe Clement are the two trainers that actually have good numbers cutting back from turf routes to turf sprints. So they're two trainers I'm not afraid to bet in those situations. You know, I bet her more because I really liked her last time off of her trip to back, and I picked her second. I actually had her third. The horse I had on top didn't get in, so I ended up with a favorite who I didn't really love. And I think if I knew the actual field, I probably would have had her on top for its worth. It doesn't really matter. Well, you know, the haters, you know, for the haters who keep me track at home, they're happy to be. But I just thought she was a reasonable alternative, and she run very, very well in the state two back. She obviously stunk last time, but I don't know. Maybe she wouldn't want to be as close as she was. And I'm not going to give up on a horse, especially when it comes back at a big price. And I was so surprised when she was like 13, 14 to 1 with, you know, sort of in the middle of the betting. But I thought, I guess I'd have to bet her.
The
price, but she shouldn't have been that price.
Agreed. The thing that was funny about the sequence, like, for instance, the Asmussen winner of the second leg, the Jeff Bloom horse that nailed Dancing with Daffodils, the important one.
I made two bets this week, Dancing with Daffodils and Flavius. That was just a punishing beat. I only used two in there, and one of them was Dancing with Daffodils. Well, what's interesting about that horse is that, you know, I do think that nobody rides turf sprints better, and few as well, if any, than Joel Rosario. And, you know, you didn't expect that horse to be coming from last. She appeared to be part of the pace. So they changed her running style, whether that was Joel and or Toby Sheets. And Toby does such a good job with the Asmussen horses in New York that whoever made that decision made the right one. And that was, the usual spectacular ride. And I did see Joel at one point and said, thank you for being me in that tournament. I really appreciate it. He even beat the people who like him.
That's
but I'm
right.
Still persevering, and I still like him.
He is. It's amazing how he has become. I guess it's not just him. I would probably put Julian LaRue in this.
Rider. When Joel is on his game, he's a good rider in my opinion.
But he's a magnet for abuse. It's weird. It's like
times with Joel where you sort of wonder what he's thinking. I find those to be a lot less than the majority. But, you know, you're getting into a discussion where, and we're all guilty of it, where you start to overly focus on the opinions on social media. You know, social media effectively, and not, you know, racing is a very small sliver of it, is effectively the tails. It's certainly the case in politics where the far right and the far left are the ones that seem to have the loudest voices. And I think that it confuses people into thinking that they represent the majority when, in fact, they represent a very small minority. But they're the loudest voices on social media. So I think if you just, say, what do people think of Joel Rosario, and you just use Twitter, you'll get a very distorted opinion of somebody who, in general, is regarded as one of the best riders in the game, which is the way to view him. So, you know, I appreciate people's opinions on Twitter, but they're extremely... what's the word? They're extremely they're very singular. You know, they're not. There's not a room for error. I'm having a senior moment here. there's not a lot of room for discussion and with a lot of people's opinions. On
right,
Twitter.
Right. There you go.
And I like to have discussion with people, and certainly don't mind if somebody agrees with me as long as they're not nasty. But that's a different discussion.
One more race from the pick five, and that was the start. And when you looked at that first leg, Andy, it looked like there was a lot of speed. And then Tribeca, who has been unbelievable, now has made $500,000, 12 for 36 in his career, and he got the lead. Him and Kendrick Carmouche are a nice pairing, and off they go.
Chris has him, right? Chris trains him, right?
Yes.
Done a great job with him. I agree. He's always been a cool horse, but they've really got him focused and on the right path, and I couldn't agree more. And one thing is, you have three strong speeds. And let me be clear. Tribeca was the fastest in the three speeds, but by being unaggressive, they allowed him to go slower than perhaps was in everyone else's best interest. But, you know, one thing you know, Kendrick's going. Kendrick isn't rating speed horses. Even if a trainer tells him he wants to raise speed horse, I'm guessing that Kendrick's thinking, I'm going to have to find a way to get the lead. That's not what Kendrick does, and that's one of the reasons he's as successful and good a rider as he is. He understands the value of it. I was very surprised that they took Amundsen back so readily in that race.
Yep.
Because he had been so good when he had the lead, you know, that I thought they would at least try more for the lead, but they didn't, you know. And as a result... he wasn't effective, not surprisingly, but Tribeca, take nothing away from him. He's sensational.
has won for everybody that had him, including Gary, who bought him for $10,000, and the horse has gone on to make $500,000. It really, that was from that first crop, I think, or second of Bustin' Stones. You know, they're just like little water bugs. They're just, they got that quick step. And it's fine. When he got the lead, Andy, I knew it was over. He was a C for me.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I mean, it was my third pick, but I like Linda's horse who ran second, and I don't think it's a bad pick. You know, I think if the pace had developed at all, that horse would have won. But take nothing away from Tribeca. He's really gotten good. He's just a really good horse.
Well, Mount Travers, if you took Mount Travers, that's an Andy pick if there ever was, because you never met a turn back you didn't like.
Well, that's not really why I picked that horse.
What else was it going in on that?
That horse had been improving, and I thought there were question marks in there. And I just sometimes feel like you can guess a little bit with Linda when she's going to have a horse take a step forward. And I think all the money that horse took was representative of the fact they expected him to run well, and he did.
Well, that was the pick five. Paid $23,000. It then gave way to Saturday with the first of these big Saturdays, and one after another. The Phipps this weekend, and then, of course, Belmont Day. Looking forward to being down and broadcasting at Belmont leading into the big Saturday. But, Andy, let's talk about some of these performances. We already did Newspaper of Record. I had George Weaver yesterday and Suge about Code of Honor and Vekoma. And the Vekoma effort was just just a wow.
Yeah, no, I agree. He was sensational. He's always touted himself as a very, very good horse. I mean, this horse was running huge numbers as a two-year-old. And, you know, obviously, you know, he had that funny action, but, you know, there were issues because he didn't run after the Derby. And I remember George kept saying he's going to run this race or that race. I'm sure it was very frustrating for him, especially when you have a horse that talented in your barn. And it must be very satisfying for him to get a chance to see it come to fruition, because it's a horse that from day one touted himself as absolutely one of the best, if not the best horse in his crop. And hopefully he can stay sound and get a chance to really show it this year. And the possibility of a matchup with Key, McKinsey, potentially Code of Honor, but also Volatile, if Steve Asmussen decides to bring him to New York for the Met Mile, would be pretty tasty. And obviously Volatile and Vekoma ran sort of similar races, in that they were both law of victories, Vekoma on a wet track, though, and Volatile on a dry track. But I'm a big Vekoma fan, and I don't know what else you can say. He was terrific on Saturday. I mean, he was the star of the stars, but there were others.
Had Steve Asmussen earlier, by the way, and as for Volatile, he didn't talk about the Met. He did say the goal, the short-term goal, intermediate goal, is the Vanderbilt. That's what they're circled.
That's what I was thinking, and I can understand why Steve would have reservations. I mean, listen, I don't tell him how to run his horses. He certainly doesn't need me. And coincidentally, he is not interested, in my opinion, other than to disagree with it. About everything. But I was thinking, you know, but to be fair, that's a lot. You know, that's a lot to chew. You know, that horse has had a few starts. You got him going good. You're going to run right. You know, it's not like Mattioli. It's a little different than Mattioli, I think. So I think he's probably making a more prudent decision. I'm sure there is temptation and some, at least, internal pressure, but he will do the right thing by his horse, and the Vanderbilt figured to be the goal.
Sure.
Mattioli did it. He had 2 months between races. This time you have a month, you know?
True.
You know, and I think, you know, you're successful by keeping your eye on the prize.
I was excited. I mean, everybody obviously was excited by the performance. And that has been the theme here week after week with each of these, you know, with each of these ovals coming back and so many returnees and a lot, frankly, a lot of fillies and mares that have got people excited.
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead. Andy, one thing that I don't want people to lose sight of that in the wake of Vekoma, Network Effect ran a career best fig, and that was completely obscured in that race in the Carter
by 7 lengths. So it was obscured for a reason. Listen, you know, I'm an Effect fan, and I want to see him do well. But I think he's proven so far in his career that he ain't beating Vekoma. So, you know,
which is okay.
I like Network Effect, and he's a really nice horse. And I don't know if there will be too many better Mark Valeskis than Network Effect, but, you know, he's Nova Coma. And the Code of Honor race was really terrific. Code of Honor was great to see him come back. I thought Endorse ran very well. Was that Joelle also making the early move?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. It was Joelle.
Well, he made the early move when the pace slowed down in the second quarter, and it turned out to be a very smart move by him, and he almost ended up winning the race. But that was a terrific race by both of them, and Code of Honor's back. So, yeah, I mean, this was quite a table-setting weekend for the rest of the year. And, you know, I know the year has been difficult for many, many people, and many much more difficult than myself. And you never should gloss over any of that because it's more personal than just racing. But, you know, racing, the big time from a racing standpoint, the calendar, it really begins every year at Keeneland, then the Triple Crown races. And that was delayed quite a bit, obviously, this year. Unfortunately, Churchill Downs got going a week or so before us. And then, you know, we've started, and I think that you saw this weekend, and we've seen some spectacular races at Churchill as well. You're seeing the racing season really getting started, and it's nice to see it not start in some muddled way of upsets. Good horses ran, good horses delivered, and there's a lot to look forward to. We knew that going in, but it's, you know, sometimes you come out and you go, oh, God, what a mess. Not a mess this weekend. The good horses are here. They're back, and they're running big races, so that was great.
One race I haven't talked about at all was the Fort Marcy, and that was interesting, and it kind of unfolded like you would have thought. Some Like It Hot was going to be on an isolated lead, and then
really?
Whoever
you
was going to move.
Unfolded the way you thought a horse would break his rein and run off, and Some Like It Hot.
Well, that was an oddball thing.
The best race of anybody. He ran unbelievably well, finishing third. I mean, that was lost.
Yes.
I've never been a big Instilled Regard fan, but Irad gave him the right ride. And Irad made the move at the right time. You know, you have to make those moves at those mile and eighth, mile and a 16th inner turf races. You don't want to make the last move. Like the second place finisher, boy, I didn't like Devamani at all. And he's really improved for Chad Brown, but you've gotten to his best races, but Instilled Regard as well. I didn't love him. I was surprised he was 2-1, but they knew they were right.
Hmm.
You know, I've always felt that he's gotten the job done with Perfect Trips, but he was better than those horses on Saturday or Saturday.
How and about listen, out of town action, Andy? Some thoughts about Honor AP's win over Authentic and Improbable.
Okay, I mean, I thought Authentic ran fine given the trip. He didn't break. He bore out. He was never in a good, comfortable rhythm spot, so I don't want to be too down on Authentic. But Honor AP is a horse been improving. I know that you mentioned Jay Pridman, and Jay's been touting him to me for months. He's been a big fan, and I'm always happy to see John Sheriffs do well. I like John quite a bit. And, you know, he's really delivered, and, you know, he's bringing him along the right way. I'm sorry that, you know, the race wasn't a month ago, so he could be running in the Belmont, because he'd obviously be a big player. But, yeah, I mean, you have to be impressed with his performance. But I wouldn't be overly down and Authentic. He may ultimately turn out not to be as good as Honor AP, but that also may turn out to be because Honor AP is really good. And I think Honor AP certainly stamped himself as one of the leaders in this three-year-old chase.
Speaking of John Sheriffs, he had a comment yesterday that you would have just would have loved.
About flying over the Rockies?
Yes, yes.
It was great. You know, I really enjoyed, you know, spending some time with John when he trained in New York. You know, he came on my radio show, and he couldn't have been. He was terrific. But just seeing him with the tracking and Dottie, I miss seeing them. I really liked seeing them. They were great to have around. You know, and I'm sure our paths will cross again, hopefully sooner than later. But, yeah. They don't even mind that I wasn't Zenyatta's biggest fan.
No, they don't at all.
Some others. Yeah. But they may understand that I actually have a world of respect for her. We can use more Zenyattas in the racing game, even if it's just to get people to argue about racing. Arguing about racing is good for racing. You know, discussion, arguments, opinions, all good. It means people
exactly.
Care.
Exactly. You know?
It's good to have people care. And I think that's one of the things. You know, listen, a lot of people in opinions don't agree with on Twitter. To be able to care about racing, and that's a good thing. You know, I don't want to be just too hard on them, but they care about racing. But sometimes they're very dichotomous, the opinions.
Improbable in the Gold Cup? mile and a quarter?
He looked great. No, he looked great. I was surprised. Yeah. I didn't really think of him as a true mile and a quarter horse, and I don't know if it's the strongest field, but he certainly ran well. He got a 105 buyer. I've always liked him, as you know. I've always liked him probable. I think he would have won the Pennsylvania Derby if he had figured out how to get out of the gate. And I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Nice performance. I look forward to seeing him run again.
Well, and McKenzie righted the ship as well.
Bob Baffert, who obviously had a tough week, to say the least, you know.
Well, and McKenzie came back, too, on Sunday
with
a nice effort.
I agree. We'll see. All right, Steve, I'm going to go.
98. I'm going to let you go. Broadcast starts again
right back in
Thursday.
Action every Thursday through Sunday. Churchill and Belmont for the rest of the meet. Both Churchill and Belmont. All the races, all available on Fox Sports, available on MSG Plus, available on YouTube, available on also other Fox sports outlets. So they're out there. And I hope people have enjoyed the shows and as much as I've enjoyed doing them. And I think the team has been terrific. From every single person has done a great job on the show, everybody. And I couldn't be prouder of the work done by everybody I work with. I had a great time with Acacia. I thought we had a lot of fun together. We spent a lot of time at the desk together, and she was great. So, you know, I'm proud of everybody. And that includes the people in the truck who will never, you know, I say it, it may sound corny, but they can never be appreciated enough. The effort that goes in putting those shows together. Keep in mind, I'm on stage, you know, I'm on there for three and a half hours a day. They're in the truck for hours and hours and hours and hours, you know, from morning till night.
That's right.
Doing a terrific job, and we can't thank them enough. And I hope everybody appreciates the effort they're putting forth when they watch the show.
Andy, be looking forward to Thursday. We're going to turf it with Carlisle Bell. Hoping
good luck, Steve. We'll talk later.
You got it. Andy Serling, everybody. And as Andy suggests, back again Thursday with Churchill and with Belmont. We're going to talk to Chuck Lawrence. How about that? Talk about timing. I wanted to get Chuck on before it was too far afield. Let's take the last break. When we come back, we'll close out the morning with Chuck.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back about 15 minutes to close out this busy Tuesday, and the aforementioned Chuck Lawrence is going to join us, and we're gonna drive home the point that when a trainer has done something with a certain kind of horse, it should be enough evidence that he can do it again. And we'll talk about Perrette and the win in the Tiller on Thursday in a second. But first of all, we want to say hi to Chuck because we haven't talked to him in ages. Chuck, how are you?
I'm good, Steve, and thank you for the faith before the race. Thank you.
I love it. Andy Sterling was just on with us, and he admonished me for calling you Chucky. I explained to everybody how, you know, with the name James Lawrence, how you became Chuck and affectionately Chucky.
Well, my cousin, Amy, when I came home from the hospital, wanted to name me Charlie after the family poodle. And my mom said no. Well, she came back the next day and with the name Chuck. And I was in first grade, and they were calling James. I didn't know who they were calling. I said, there's a Chuck Lawrence here. And so I never really went by James until I was actually riding races when I was 16. So. That's the story.
I love it.
After family.
There
family.
You go. I love it. Well, and, you know, you've been on with us after a lot of big wins, and most notably, and obviously what I'm referring to, is the work you did with Glorious Empire. And so, you know, saying that Perrette was a danger in that race on Thursday, it was not. Really a stretch. Talk about getting horses to run, you know, this is a mile and three-eighths, getting them to run, you know, off of extensive time off.
Well, it's a lot of things go into just a distance race. One is to be able to conserve your energy, but getting a horse prepared for that is just a lot of long endurance workouts, gallops. I do a lot of hill work here at Fair Hill, and then, of course, working on the Tapita, we did some mile works, a lot of 7 furlongs, and you know, he came with a reputation of being a bleeder, so we try not to do any kind of short work. It seems like they really tend to make a horse bleed worse. It's amazing those races where they're going a second or two slower, you know, for the quarter, the half, you can teach a horse to relax and have much less shot of bleeding. And I'm sorry I went off on a different in there, but the training is really just teaching him to turn off and use his speed at the end of the race.
This is an Australian bred by Harbor Watch. He's now a 6-year-old gelding, and you know, he started his career obviously in Australia, and looked like he was in some serious company actually as well at Randwick and at Rose Hill. And there's really a lot of parallels of this horse with Glorious Empire, and of course Matt Shearer is the, you know, is a big part of the tie-in, but the stories seem very parallel.
Well, Matt is very, very intelligent, very amazing reading numbers and studying races, and he gets a lot of horses thrown at him because he purchases horses, but he's really able to pick out the ones that he thinks he loves speed horses that he thinks he can convert to turf as one angle. To go long, but also horses that are bleeding, and have shown talent that we think that we can take and calm them down and teach them to go long. So over in Australia, he was meant to be a top horse, and we were disappointed they were running is he had a bunch of over there they have like practice races that are like works, and he had them like week after week, and then he'd have a race and he would bleed, and we just felt that they were running him too often for a horse that bleeds. And we loved the fact that he had speed, and we saw a race where he was very determined. He bumped in between and still came on and won, and we liked his grit, and he showed that the other day. So that was perfect.
Well, and what's interesting is last year, as you got to know him, and his first North American start was in the Dixie, and he kind of, you know, tended the pace and then, you know, faded a little bit late. What's changed is as you've gotten to know him and as the, you know, the distances have stretched out, the speed that he obviously does possess, it now sort of puts him at the longer distances, it puts him in the vanguard. And let's also acknowledge, by the way, the ride that was turned in here, because you got from Vargas just, I thought, a tremendous job of just keeping him out in front and not asking him until he really needed to ask him.
Well, in any of those races, the game of chess comes down to pace, whether you're out the back or on the pace, it comes down to a second or two of the half, the three quarters, and he was able to have a fast quarter and then slow it down and then turn in another fast quarter at the end. And very similar to Glorious Empire, and a lot of that, like I say, comes down to pace. I think this horse is a little more turned off than Glorious Empire just from the time we've worked with him. And I think that he could possibly sit second, third, fourth with a faster pace up front. But, of course, we're not going to change a whole lot, but we're not going to just say every race that he'll be on the lead, because I think this horse will sit second, third.
A 99 buyer out of this, Chuck, and you know, this puts him in you know, nice company for that kind of race. And mile and three eighths, mile and a half. You know, talk a little bit about what this opens up for you, because especially from Fair Hill with Delaware opening and you know, Colonial not far behind, and then of course the whole summer calendar in New York. I mean, there's no shortage of opportunities for him.
No, it's a great opportunity, and we're really excited because those are the type of races that we like to win, and we say that we're going to take the easier route with him, but knowing Matt and I, we usually jump up and try to go for the gusto, all the money, and you know, we've been successful doing that before with some long shots, and hopefully we can do it again.
Anything you got? Anything in mind? You know, ahead on the. You probably have got, you know, six condition books at your disposal. What?
We're looking at everything. The Manhattan. We're going to definitely nominate for all the races, and then just
nice.
We're thinking about the race at Monmouth only because of time frame. Giving him an extra week or two there, I think it is. It might just be a week, but he's been turned out every morning here, and he's bucking and playing, saying that he wants to go back to work. So we'll send him back to work here very shortly. After the race, we come back and we turn out, and he does some hyperbaric chamber with Fairhill Equine Therapy, Bruce Jackson, and
nice.
Just to help him. Sustain, and hopefully it helps him bounce back quicker. And like I said, I'm very, very, very pleased with him, how he's come out of the race. So he was definitely blowing and tired after the race, but he had a right to be. I think we were away 8 months from the races. So
Well, you were happy with him, and the people who climbed on board were as well at 38-1, pay 78.50, 35.20 to place as well. And this was a bonanza, and he actually, you know, easy enough to hook him up with some of the logicals like Sadler's Joy and Dot Matrix. So this was a bonanza. It also got your season kick-started because you really hadn't had too many starts before this on Thursday, but it gets you in the win column for the year. What lies ahead, Chuck?
Well, I've got a nice 3-year-old. At least he's nice here in the morning at Fair Hill. He's called DJ, running Thursday up in New York. And of course, when you go up over that bridge to New York, it's a little different story. So we'll find out how good he is. But he's a big, beautiful 3-year-old. That his first start, he got trapped down on the rail at Parks on a deep track and got in trouble 3 times. And he still was able to eke out a second. And he looks the part in the morning. He's a big, good-looking 3-year-old. And we're hoping we can sneak into Belmont. I shouldn't be telling you, but we're hoping we can sneak into Belmont Thursday and get a nice trip with him. So
he's the Junior Alvarado is going to ride. It's funny. I printed these PPs up this morning, and I saw his name. He's a Pennsylvania bred, Hope Hill Farm bred, and Bill Esworthy owns, and. Feels like you got something to work with here.
Well, definitely. I mean, he's big. He's got a huge stride. He does everything right in the morning. His first start really wasn't his fault. He was just down on the inside, and the track was real deep, and just didn't have the best trip. Unfortunately, got the one hole again. But, You know, hopefully we get a decent trip, and with the bigger sweeping turns at Belmont, hopefully we'll get a little bit better line on him. And we don't have to win, but we'd certainly like to get a good showing there since he's been away from the races, too, because of the corona.
Well, there's something interesting about this. There's a side note about this horse that I got to bring up because the dam, Nasty Nemesis, an old Trieste mare that the late Bob Manfuso bred with Carl Nafsker, and Jim McGreevy trained, that's great. I love it. So we'll let McGreevy know that this one's you might have something good here with this son, DJ. For those that were listening, DEE, like our stable, DT Stables, but DJ in the fourth on Thursday. I love it. And Chuck, what about those horses that coming up at Laurel?
I've got a really nice 3-year-old filly. I had 2 nice 3-year-old fillies last year from Matt, Zonda and Tass. And,
right.
Unfortunately for me, Matt sold Zonda at the sale. She bought $500,000 at the end of the year.
Wow.
And, Tass, I have in on Friday, her first race back. And I'm excited about her. She's big. She was a really light filly last year. She's bigger, she's stronger, filled out, and I look for a lot of good things out of her this year. We're really targeting Colonial Downs. She's a Virginia certified, and there's some big the bigger races down there. We're hoping to kick start it off though Friday with a win with her. So. And then we have another horse in on Friday, a little I think he's a 4-year-old, his first start back in quite a while. We've got 2 good shots on Friday, so we'll give it our best.
Well, Chuck, I'm glad to catch up. Always pleased when you do well. I look forward to seeing you somewhere along the line this summer. We'll be watching for Perrette, perhaps July 4th in the Manhattan, and DJ on Thursday in New York, and then Friday, Tass in the 8th at Laurel with Trevor McCarthy, Chucky Lawrence. Continued success.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the call.
And by the way, Chuck, I saw you just joined up on Twitter, right?
Well,
did we lose?
I've been on there. I can't. I'm not like one of my best friends, Grant Motion. I don't get on there. I get on there and I read. But I am reluctant to make a whole lot of comments because I'm a big Trump 2020, so I have to be careful.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, well, you can you'll get some followers today because I'm going to use your Twitter moniker when I make the listing on today's show. And for those that are wondering, it's Chase Ashby is how Chuck goes on Twitter. Chase, Chase Ashby, Ashby, with no breakup at all. Chuck Lahr, it's always fun to connect. And this morning just flew by. This was a blur. Chuck Lawrence, Andy Serling, Jim Watkins from the Illinois HBPA at Fairmont, Andrew Offerman, tomorrow, opening day at Canterbury, opening day today at Fairmount, or reopening day. Lean Wilkes and Steve Asmussen. Sales are going on. Going to bring up the auctioneers and listen to the sale and keep tabs. And back with you for the Wednesday get-together tomorrow. Seth Merrow and Sid Fernando and much, much more. Thanks, everybody. Good luck if you're playing today. Talk to you in the morning.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.